Today, the inflation monster stirs again. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. The latest monthly inflation read from the ABS shook analysts and markets because it came in much hotter than expected. "It's a very hot CPI print," said Andrew Lilly, chief rate strategist at Barrenjoey. "It's a lot hotter than anyone expected." The market will see this as inconsistent with the Reserve Bank of Australia's cutting again. That said, the RBA's favoured trim mean measure, which smooths out volatile items such as food and energy, did slow to 2.6% in August from 2.7% in the prior month. The news prompted several banks to remove the number of interest rate cuts they'd forecast for the RBA this cycle, including Deutsche Bank, Citi, National Australia Bank and Barrenjoey. The result is flashing warning signals for the RBA, showing broad-based re-acceleration in inflationary pressures, according to Barrenjoey Markets economists, including Joe Masters, scrapping their calls for a November rate cut. "There is now considerable uncertainty about the path for future rate cuts," Masters said. "On balance, we think it likely that the RBA will have room to deliver a 25 basis point cut in the first half of 2026, although the timing is uncertainty." All this after Australian employment uncertainty fell last month, while the jobless rate held steady at 4.2%, in a sign that the labour market was starting to soften just a little. The RBA cut its cash rate by a quarter percentage point to 3.6% last month. That's the third reduction of the year. And on Monday, Governor Michelle Bullock said the rate-setting board will weigh recent evidence showing the economy has been performing in line with or slightly stronger than anticipated at next week's policy meeting. She said that inflation has eased substantially to be inside the RBA's target and reiterated that the monthly CPI indicator was volatile and doesn't provide a clean signal. She's expressed greater confidence, of course, in the comprehensive quarterly inflation report. Now, it's true that the monthly numbers are still rubbery, so it's best not to overreact to them, but there is a consistent pattern emerging of the inflation monster stealing from us again. Inflation, of course, reduces our purchasing power and erodes real living standards. Most likely, this will mean the RBA holds rates following their next meeting, just next week. Bear in mind, too, that the ABS will begin publishing a complete monthly measure of inflation from November 2026, addressing a long-standing gap in Australia's economic data. The development will bring the nation in line with most of its developed world peers, but it's expected there will be a transition period for the complete monthly inflation data, suggesting that the quarterly figure will remain the benchmark for some time yet. Now, looking at the details, the monthly consumer price index, the CPI, rose 3% in the 12 months to August 2025. That's according to the latest data from the ABS, right at the top of the RBA's 2 to 3% band. That was actually the fastest pace in more than a year. The 3% annual CPI inflation target in August was up from 2.8% in July. The largest contributors to annual inflation were housing up 4.5%, foods and non-alcoholic beverages up 3%, and alcohol and tobacco up 6%. When prices for some items change significantly, measures of underlying inflation, like the annual trimmed mean and CPI excluding volatile items and holiday travel, can give us perhaps more insights into how inflation is trending. The annual trimmed mean inflation was 2.6% in August. That was down from 2.7% in July. But CPI, excluding volatile items and holiday travel, rose 3.4% in the 12 months to August, compared to 3.2% in the 12 months to July. So you can pay your money, take your choice. Annual housing inflation was 4.5% to August, up from 3.6% in July. That reflected increases in electricity costs. Electricity costs rose 24.6% in the 12 months to August. The annual rise in electricity costs is primarily related to households in Queensland, Western Australia and Tasmania having higher out-of-pocket costs in August 2025 than did in August 2024. In August last year, state government electricity rebates were in place for Queensland at $1,000, Western Australia at $400 and Tasmania at $250. Over the year, those rebates have been used up and those programs have finished. Excluding the impact of the various changes in Commonwealth state and Commonwealth and state electricity rebates over the last year, electricity prices would have risen 5.9%. In monthly terms, electricity costs actually fell 6.3% in August 2025. The fall in cost this month was driven by New South Wales and the ACT, with households in those states receiving their first payments of the extended Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund rebates. The government's help to households on electricity costs is due to end by December, of course, and it really messes up with the monthly series due to the timing of the various individual payments. The ABS reported that rents rose 3.7% in the 12 months to August, following a 3.9% rise in the 12 months to July. That's the lowest annual growth in rental prices since November 2022, consistent with stable vacancy rates across most capital cities, but of course doesn't include the increases for those sitting tenants. New dwelling prices rose 0.7% in the 12 months to August, up from 0.4% in the 12 months of July. Annual growth in new dwelling prices remains low, reflecting a subdued new home market. But annual inflation for food and non-alcoholic beverages was at 3% to August, unchanged from the annual inflation rate in July, and has remained about 3% over the last 12 months. Prices for meat and seafood increased 2.9% in the 12 months to August, up from 2.4% in July. And food and vegetable prices increased 1.1% in the 12 months to August, down from a 4.1% increase in July. In monthly terms, vegetable prices fell 4.6% in August, with lower prices for broccoli, tomatoes and cauliflower. Holiday travel and accommodation prices rose 1.1% in the 12 months to August, after seeing a 3.3% annual increase in July. In monthly terms, holiday travel and accommodation prices fell 3.5% in August after the July school holidays ended. Automotive fuel prices fell 1.7% in the 12 months to August, compared to a fall of 5.5% in the 12 months to July. Average unleaded fuel prices were 4% lower compared to August 2024. In August, automotive fuel prices rose 0.8% for the month, following a flat result in July. Insurance prices rose 2.6% in the 12 months to August, after a 3.9% rise in the 12 months to July. This is the smallest annual growth in insurance in over 4 years. In monthly terms, insurance rose 1.6% in the month of August, driven by increases in premiums across house, motor vehicle and home contents insurance. Now, as a result of all this, bond traders slashed their expectations for further interest rate cuts, with some in the market now betting that the central bank could be done with lowering borrowing costs this cycle. The Australian dollar spiked above 66 US cents and bond yields jumped after the CPI index ticked up. Money markets are now imply a less than a 1 in 2 chance of a rate cut in November after fully pricing in a reduction late last month. And they're now pricing just one or more rate cut this cycle, down from 2 on Monday, with a move in February fully priced in. But that could change, of course. Alex Joyner, chief economist at IFM Investors, said the way the data was evolving suggests that the RBA would be extremely cautious in cutting rates further. He also penciled in one more this cycle in November. For the RBA to want to cut rates further, we'll need to see a more material uplift in the unemployment rate beyond where the RBA currently expects, he said. Headline topped expectations, and details such as housing and services remain a source of upside risk for the outlook, said Rodrigo Cadrill, a strategist at National Australia Bank in Sydney. Today's figures provide some food for thought for the RBA to consider a pause at its November meeting. Now, one other question is the so-called neutral rate for the cash rate. The neutral rate is that sweet spot for central banks in which policy neither stimulates nor restrains activity. It's often used to assess the stance of monetary settings. The RBA currently judges that policy is, quote, somewhat restrictive, but it's a theoretical concept known by its works, not a specific target number. But then, according to internal documents released last Thursday under a Freedom of Information request, the Reserve Bank of Australia's model of the neutral cash rate implies a significant downward revision to its estimates, while the job market is seen as tighter than previously thought. The RBA's model showed in March that the neutral rate was at 2.9% in the middle of 2024. That's around 0.7 percentage points lower than its previous estimate of 3.6% in that period. This new figure, which hasn't been previously reported, is aligned more closely with pre-pandemic views and suggests that the cash rate is further above neutral than previously thought. So, could this downward revision suggest the bank's benchmark rate may need to be lower than previously thought to help the RBA achieve its mandate? Well, maybe, but a tighter than expected jobs market potentially signals the need for more restrictive policy, and this is amplified by the latest CPI results that we discussed already. Put together, the two estimates highlight the RBA's cautious approach to easing this year, which has been slower than the aggressive pace that financial markets had expected, is likely to continue. As part of its suite of data, the RBA publishes a chart in its quarterly statement of monetary policy showing its various models of the neutral rate. That chart, though, was absent in its August statement of monetary policy. When asked at a press conference last month, Governor Michelle Bullock provided a wide range of somewhere between 1% and 4%. So, who knows? The downgraded model estimates following refinements to the RBA's calculations, such as placing less weight on outliers and switching to expected rather than actual inflation for calculating the real cash rate. Despite the downgrade, the internal research notes that the gap between the cash rate and the neutral rate remains smaller than the policy rate gaps that we've seen in other economies at the peak of their tightening cycles. And separate analysis of the RBA's assessment of full employment suggests a lower estimate for the non-accelerating inflation rate of unemployment, or the NIRU, than previously thought. According to those documents, NIRU is the lowest unemployment rate an economy can sustain without setting off faster inflation. The RBA's model average estimate for the NIRU, in fact, climbed to 4.83% in the first quarter from 4.69%. However, a separate study using various other labour market indicators suggests an aggregate NIRU estimate of around 4.3 to 4.4%, slightly lower than the RBA's working assumption of 4.5%, according to the documents. Data recently showed that Australia's unemployment rate held steady at 4.2% in August, and recently Assistant Governor Sarah Hunter said Australia's economy is pretty close to full employment. The RBA suite of models indicates that the unemployment gap, the difference between the actual unemployment and the NIRU, remains negative at somewhere between -1 and -0.6%, signaling the labour market is very tight, according to the documents. The research shows the gap has in fact widened slightly relative to May. So, standing back, the technocrats at the RBA continue to mess with their economic models, while real households are struggling with rising costs of living and the risks of interest rates staying higher for longer than many have been spruiking. Thus, a word of caution to those considering a big mortgage on the prospect of further rate cuts is due. And for those whose cost of living lurch ever higher, just be aware. Frankly, my confidence in the RBA and its policy setting and forecasting remains in the gutter as the inflation monster stirs again while they mess with their models. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.